Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Alfred L. Garfall, MD, the Director of Autologous Hematopoietic Stem Cell Transplantation at Penn Medicine and an Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Dr. Garfall joined us to talk about the FDA approval of teclistamab in relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma. On October 25, 2022, the FDA granted accelerated approval to teclistamab in heavily pretreated adult patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma. The regulatory decision was backed by findings from the Phase 1-2 MajesTEC-1 trial, in which the agent demonstrated an objective response rate of 61.8% and estimated 6-month and 9-month duration of response rates of 90.6% and 66.5%, respectively. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Garfall discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from MajesTEC-1, and how the drug's unique mechanism of action lends to greater tolerability and accessibility compared with other anti-myeloma agents. What is the significance of this approval?
What's exciting about teclistamab is it is a highly effective therapy for relapsed refractory multiple myeloma that rivals the efficacy of CAR T-cell therapy, but ultimately is a lot simpler to administer and will be more readily available than CAR T-cell therapies for multiple myeloma.
How does this agent meet some unmet needs in this patient population?
Despite all the progress with new multiple myeloma therapies that have been developed over the last, 1 to 2 decades, unfortunately, most patients are expected to relapse. We need new therapies to address the needs of patients who are progressing despite all the best currently available therapies. And so what's impressive about teclistamab is the high response rate as a single agent in patients who have become refractory to the most commonly available therapies for multiple myeloma. And so in the patient population studied in the pivotal trial, about 65% of patients responded, and those responses tended to be very durable. To have those kind of results in this patient population is really impressive. I'll also add that, among the therapies that we give on an ongoing basis for multiple myeloma, while there are some specific toxicities for patients who respond and handle those toxicities as most patients do, there's very little cumulative toxicity. And so compared with the typical therapies that are being given to patients in this advanced setting, patients typically, once they get through the initial couple weeks or so, typically have very good quality of life on teclistamab with very little cumulative toxicity, despite receiving it continuously, in many cases for several years. We have experience now, patients continue to feel very well with very little toxicity that impacts their quality of life. There are some toxicities to be aware of as patients are exposed to it over time. I would say the main thing is immune suppression and risk of infection. But for patients who avoid infection, their day-to-day life is very low toxicity.
What is the mechanism of action of teclistamab?
Sure. So teclistamab is a bispecific antibody. So that's an antibody therapy that has two specificities. And so we're used to conventional monoclonal antibody therapies for cancer, having a single specificity for a cell surface target on the surface of the cancer cell. And by binding that target, the antibody can recruit certain elements of the immune system, namely innate immune cells like neutrophils, macrophages that bind antibody-bound pathogens. That's how typical monoclonal antibodies work. A T-cell engaging bispecific antibody like teclistamab, it with one arm binds a cell surface target on the surface of the multiple myeloma cell, in this case BCMA, but with the other arm it binds a T cell, CD3 on the T cell. And by having that dual specificity, the drug can basically bring together a myeloma cell and a T cell. And so that turns out to be able to negation of the immune system against myeloma cells with this approach compared to what you can get with a typical monoclonal antibody that doesn't directly engage T cells in the way these CD3 engaging bispecific antibodies do. So this is a mechanism that was first exploited with a drug called blinatumomab, which is an anti-CD19 slash CD3 bispecific T cell engager approved for treatment of ALL. The trouble with that agent is that it's a very small molecule that has to be given as a continuous IV infusion. Teclistamab, to my knowledge, is the first drug full-length bispecific antibody approved. And so this exploits that same mechanism of action, but does so in the format of a full-length antibody. And what that means is that it has a much longer half-life. And so it can be given with intermittent dosing, as opposed to the requirement for a continuous IV infusion, which is the case for the kind of prior generation, I guess, of bispecific T-cell engagers like blinatumomab.
What stood out to you most about the MajesTEC-1 findings?
The highlights are the high response rate, the long duration of response for patients who are responding. I would say that the toxicity data are important to note. And so if patients have early toxicity with teclistamab, toxicity or cytokine release syndrome and neurologic toxicity. Now, fortunately, with this mechanism of action on the MajesTEC-1 study, there was very little high-grade CRS or neurologic toxicity. And in my experience treating many patients with teclistamab, while we did have to intervene at times with supportive measures like IV fluids, and with some frequency had to use abortive agents like the tocilizumab to calm down the T cell mediated inflammation, this was very manageable and was almost entirely low grade for patients. And it occurred exclusively in these first few doses. You can with confidence give the drug and have confidence that that more severe concerning toxicity is limited to the first, few doses. And then after that, like I said, there's very little cumulative toxicity except for infection. With almost any multiple myeloma therapy, you're concerned about immunosuppressive effects. And it is clear that this drug does have some immunosuppressive effects. Almost all patients who are on it for a while develop low immunoglobulin G, which is expected from the effect of the drug on normal plasma cells. The patients that we've treated at our center have all received intravenous immune globulin if they've been on the drug for long enough to develop low immunoglobulin levels. And it was also clear in the MajesTEC-1 study that there may be an increased risk of opportunistic infections. And so there was some pneumocystis pneumonia that was seen on the study. And as a result, we've started giving our patients pneumocystis prophylaxis. And there was even one case of PML, progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy. And these infections often occurred in patients who had been on the drug for a while, whose myeloma was under very good control, suggesting that there really is an immune suppressive effect of teclistamab. Now, I think that the benefit for these patients was clear in terms of the control of their myeloma, and many of these infections can be perhaps prevented with measures like pneumocystis prophylaxis, IVIG. But I still think we'll see some serious infections in patients who are on this for a while. COVID-19 on the MajesTEC-1 study was a major problem. So in our site, we and other sites as well had some patients pass away from COVID-19 complications. Of course, that was a problem for multiple myeloma patients in general, on a lot of different multiple myeloma therapies, but clearly the patients had trouble with COVID-19, especially in the earlier days with the more aggressive variants and before we had better therapies for COVID-19. And so I suspect that will continue actually to be a risk as long as COVID-19 is around with use of teclistamab and other therapies like it.
Looking forward, how do you see this agent fitting into the current treatment paradigm for multiple myeloma?
So I think at first it will be used for patients with, heavily relapsed refractory disease in line with its FDA approval. There's a lot of discussion about how we'll kind of sort through the different options in that late line of therapy. There's agents like belantamab. There's two different CAR T cell products for multiple myeloma that are also approved in that area, selinexor. That will sort itself out over time. But teclistamab, I think, is going to be a workhorse for us in those patients. Just the availability to give it quickly, the excellent safety and efficacy profile. It will be the therapy of choice, I think, for many patients in those late lines of therapy, especially in areas or at centers or regions of the country where CAR T cell therapy is not readily available. This will be easier for centers to use compared to the complexity of CAR T cell therapy, even if CAR T cell therapies are a bit more potent. And then I think it will, as with most safe and effective multiple myeloma therapies, I know there are ongoing, and I expect there will continue to be studies incorporating it into earlier lines of therapy, using it in combination with other therapies. I think it'll just take a lot of clinical investigation to figure out where it has the most impact and in what combinations it has the most impact, or is it a drug that is so effective that it actually has its best use as a monotherapy, and thereby sparing patients maybe the unending string of combination therapies, which has been the norm in multiple myeloma for a while now. I think there's also potential to explore with the teclistamab fixed duration therapy, especially if it's used earlier on in the course of multiple myeloma therapy. And so far in the clinical trials, it's been given as continuous dosing, but we've all had patients who have had to stop it for one reason or another, often for infection. And in those patients, at least my experience is that they seldom progress after it stopped, even for many months. And so that raises the possibility that patients could maybe receive fixed courses of this, especially earlier on in multiple myeloma therapy, and get the best of both worlds, get the upside of potent anti-myeloma activity without the downside of infection risk that may come with long-term exposure.
What ongoing research at Penn Medicine are you excited about?
Yeah, so we continue to cooperate with companies testing a range of promising therapies for relapsed refractory myeloma in phase one and two studies. And so these include other bispecific antibodies like talquetamab, which targets GPRC5D, cevostamab that targets FCRH5, a really interesting and promising antibody for myeloma called modakafusp or TAK573. That targets CD38, like daratumumab, but has an additional immune modulated interferon moiety that increases potentially the immune activation and has shown some promising results reported by my colleague Dan Vogel. So all of those are very exciting. We're also investigating the use of some of these immunotherapies in earlier lines of therapy. And so in collaboration with other academic sites in the Blood and Marrow Transplant Clinical Trials Network, we're conducting a study using ide-cel or Abecma for patients who have gone through standard first-line therapy and undergone autologous stem cell transplant and have not achieved a complete response, and asking whether these low levels of disease that are residual after a full standard first line of myeloma therapy, whether they can be eradicated with the CAR T cell therapy. We're excited that that study is progressing. That's also one of the first clinical trials, I believe, that has been conducted with CAR T cells in a cooperative group setting. And so I think will be a nice demonstration of the ability of some of these NIH-funded cooperative groups to conduct clinical trials with these potent immunotherapies.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive on Air.